Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan says ALS patients should douse themselves with ice water. Well, what do you know? Oh, I forgot to tell you that part. I'm sorry.
Live from Fargo, North Dakota to Baltimore, Maryland, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we go tiny with Marette Mueller and Christopher Smith, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's worried about keeping up with the Droneses, it's Michael Feldman.
The Droneses. Yeah. Holy cow. Is this working? Come on. Oh, there I am. Okay. Yeah, the Droneses. Good. I forgot to tell you how we do that with the call and response thing. A few of you knew. I knew I was forgetting something. You got to remind me of these things because sometimes, you know, concentrate on one thing to the, you know, because some, yeah, people from Reedsburg get all excited and then you forget what you're doing. So, yeah. You want to try it again, the opening?
No, we're good.
You come here all the time. Let's try one again. So you respond, not much you. You can try a gesture. It gives you that you quality. You. Okay. You don't have to gesture if it's against your, you know, cultural background, whatever. So, and then that sort of sets things in motion, okay? So, you ready?
Yeah.
Oh, and all as, like, in unison, by the way. Okay? That means, like, all together. All right. Ready? What do you know?
Not much. You.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you very much. It's the What Do You Know call and response. In the news that isn't, indicted Texas Governor Rick Perry took the ALS challenge with a tin cup of tepid water in his cell, for which he was hosed down by guards, so that worked out. President Obama taking a working golf outing in Martha's Vineyard. Because the jihadist threat dog legs to the left. Okay, I'm giving myself a smiley face. A very oblique joke. Hillary is wearing the Cubs cap again. So it looks like it's going to be in the ring once again. Possibly with her head in it. You know, reaffirming allegiance to the worst team in baseball ever. Possibly not the best move. Declaring for the presidency, but that's just her thing. Okay, anyhow, let me see. No word yet, the weather under Microsoft Steve Ballmer, the LA paperclip guys, will have a start button. Huh? How about this? You Windows aficionados will get that. By the way, Windows 9 is coming. Hello? Windows 9. Up to 9 already. Boy, time flies when you're having Windows, doesn't it? Let's see. Another news that isn't body cameras, probably a good idea for police, but you know a cop's body camera is going to be filled with waitress outtakes.
Sit anywhere, hon.
Oh, yeah, sit anywhere. No, I already paid for that. Let's see now. Where are we now? Oh, yeah, Snag holds up iPhone 6 production. They can't get enough angels' tears. Jeff Bezos at Amazon apparently cut a deal with the angels, got all the angels' tears. Rare earth is plentiful compared to angels' tears, believe me. That goes in all the iPhones. You probably didn't know that. So selenium, they use angels' tears. Anyhow, here we go. To lure passengers back. Thank you, John, for gasping. For breath, but still. To lure passengers back, United is offering a hot meal and a warm place to poop. Fly the basic needs of United, ladies and gentlemen. Research finds athletic kids can bulk up the gray matter in their brains and still not use them for much. Cow jumps over moon and butter prices follow. And even pigs can't afford to be making bacon anymore. It's getting out of hand here. Getting out of ham. Yes. The NFL will pay Coldplay not to play at the Super Bowl halftime. And Nicki Minaj, she will perform, but she was told she must face the crowd at all times. If you know Nicki. After reacting ungraciously to deriders, Johnny Football is now Johnny Flip-Off. Neanderthals and humans last had sex 40,000 years ago, and I know how they feel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that. Doesn't help, but thanks anyway. How many people applaud your lack of sex? I think that's a wonderful moment, really, in anybody's life. Says here, Windows 9 is pretty darn close. Okay. Well, it's pretty darn close. It's so close you can see Windows 10 from here. When they get all the way back to Windows 95, we'll have come full circle. Okay, nice. And we can just throw it out the windows at that point. All right, the released grand jury email suggests Red Cross disaster relief funds were funneled into Governor President Walker's campaign. Hence the tsunami of cash. Anyhow... As a reminder here, while your teens need to be vaccinated, there is no vaccine yet for simply being a teen. Although they're working on it. A study finds older people sleep less because that's when older people tend to die. So if you can avoid that, you should be all right for another 6-7 years anyhow. Rick Perry was heard to call for overwhelming force against the Islamic State from his cell, but he might have said Florida State. It was muffled. Okay. And finally, and I mean that TSA airport scanners have been hacked, and you can now order your posture pictures in 8x10s, 5x7s, and wallet size to trade with your friends. That's all the news. That is it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Your approval. Okay. Anybody here live in a tiny house? I don't mean a small house. I mean a tiny house. Really? You live in one? A tiny house?
Pretty small.
Okay. Pretty small. It's not a tiny, though, necessarily. How many square feet you got there?
700.
700. You don't qualify. Got to be a lot smaller than that. Have you thought about, you know, cutting out a few rooms? Downsizing, 700 square feet is pretty roomy. Just, is it two of you? Yeah, so each have like 350. That's pretty. We're talking tiny. These places are like 10 by 12 or something like that. They're basically holding cells you live in. And there's a movement across America. In fact, in Madison, there's tiny, they call them tiny homes or tiny houses?
I think tiny houses.
Tiny houses, you think? Okay, and that's what we'll call them then. And we have two people, Marette Miller and Christopher Smith, who actually made the movie on these tiny. So it sort of gave them a lot of publicity, but it already existed, you know. And they did a film on it and at South by Southwest, and that sort of planted the idea in a lot of people's minds. We have them on the phone with us right now, from New York and Cedar City, Utah, respectively. Marette, Christopher, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Good, thanks for having us.
Yeah, were you two actually able to cohabit in that tiny house?
Yeah, short amounts of time. We lived there together. I moved to New York City shortly after we finished building.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But in our film, there are quite a few couples who have lived in their tiny houses for years together.
For years, and still are, as far as you know?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and almost everybody lives with an animal.
Really? So it's actually, is it usually couples, or are they the single people?
It's
a combination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some end up single people, I'm sure, as a result of the experience, and with an animal, so that's but no kids probably in any of these, right, so far?
Well, there's actually a number of families with kids, but they're usually really young. When the kids start growing up, they... there's one family that has two older kids around 10 and 11, and they're actually looking to build a little bit bigger house now because of it.
Yeah. Marette, did leaving in the living in the tiny house propel you to get out and go to New York? Was it a motive for that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was planning to live in New York before, but in New York City, everyone kind of lives in a tiny house. So it's really similar. True. I mean, in the tiny house movement, but also in big cities, you spend a lot of your time outside of your home, you know, in parks and cafes and restaurants, and you don't live a lot of your life at home.
Whereas if you're in a tiny house in the middle of Wyoming somewhere on the range, you're going to have problems. Those guys are not going to like that. But aside from that, you can't really go in for a coffee or a nice meal.
That's true. Actually, when we finished building the house that we built, I had some land up in the mountains that was about 45 minutes from the nearest stoplight. And the house was there for about a year, and, you know, we'd spend a lot of time up there. But as I decided to live in it full time, that was just too remote, so we ended up moving it actually back down to Boulder, Colorado.
To Boulder. In the city proper?
It's actually in unincorporated county, but it's pretty close to the city, maybe a 10-minute drive.
Okay, that's pretty good. The part of the problem is you build these things and you got to put them in somebody's backyard, right? At least to start, so that's not really remote in most cases.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can put it in someone's backyard if you want to be in town, or if you own land, you can build it on your land.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are on farms and things like that. So yeah. It's flexible depending on where you are.
Because I know, Chris, I think it was you, you mentioned, you know, Walden and Thoreau and all that. Was that you talking about that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. But you know, Walden actually was on Emerson's front lawn, basically.
I did not know. We actually went down there to visit the cabin for the filming of the movie. And
yeah.
I guess I wouldn't have got that because it's a big forest, you know?
Yeah, well, you had a big lawn in Cambridge there. Biggest lawn in Cambridge, Emerson was known as. So there is that, and I was like, well, he's isolated there in Walden Pond, but he can go in the big house there, you know, just walk across the lawn, and he's pretty.
Yeah, I think that's actually one really interesting point, because a lot of people give Thoreau a hard time, you know, for having like gone to visit his aunt to get meals and things like that. But at least for the tiny house movement, isolation isn't necessarily the point. You know, people are downsizing so that they can spend more time with their family and friends and community.
Yeah.
So it's not about like who can strip things down the most,
yeah.
But it's more about like quality of life and who's living the life that they want the most.
Yeah, I must admit, I have a little problem with the feeling behind this or the need for it. I guess it doesn't because I don't have it. Although back in the day, in the whole earth, you know, 70s, I thought about living in a yurt for a while, but that was that was something else. I don't know what that was. Some good pot, I think, is what it was. You know. You move your yurt along with your herds. You know, you can move it. They're made out of goatskin, so they're flexible. But what is the thinking that motivates people to want to live in a 120 square feet space?
Well, when we set out to start, you know, building our house, I was primarily motivated by the desire. You know, I wanted to have a second house up in the mountains, basically, that I could visit, but I didn't want it to impact the environment too much because the land I had purchased in this beautiful area of Colorado called the South Park Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was primarily environmental, and we kind of expected the same as we were making the film and meeting other tiny housers, but it turns out a lot of them were actually motivated more by quality of life and by financial motivations rather than environmental, although that was, you know, an added benefit, and a lot of people were excited about the fact that they were also reducing their environmental footprint. They were primarily looking to change their life and kind of gain more economic freedom and freedom with their time and the ability to, you know, hang out with their family more or focus on projects that were meaningful to them.
So would this be then more towards a movement or as just an individual thing that like Ted Kaczynski wanted to be in a cabin by himself for his own reasons? or is it actually some kind of a social movement?
With the internet, there has been a pretty big community that's sprung up of people who are doing this all across the country and mm-hmm. who are kind of thinking the same way. So in that way, it's definitely become a movement. There's tons of like blogs and Facebook pages and, you know, there's a tiny house conference that happens once a year and, community groups and things like that. But it really, I mean, it's such a personal decision that it, mm-hmm. it really is like lots of individuals.
So it's a, like a millennials, I can't say the word, millennials movement, in that it's a movement that's not really a movement.
Yeah, but it includes people of all generations and ages. I mean, yeah. a lot of people who are retiring and want to downsize because they just find that they don't need as much space or stuff, and they want to travel more and, you know, things like that.
Millennials, there I said it.
I think there is a certain amount of, you know, philosophy built into it, too. So in that way, it's yeah. kind of a movement. I mean, there are, you know, the DIY being sort of a do-it-yourself kind of movement. And then there's a lot of, you know, focus on simplicity and quality of life. So there are mm-hmm. these underlying values that I do think kind of bind it together as more of a movement than just simply the Internet and yeah. stuff as well. So
there's that simplicity. Emerson Thoreau thing.
Yeah,
okay. Just wanted to show off my learning. I'm sorry. I was an English major, and I like to use it once in a while. But it's not exactly like the off-the-grid people. People who are going and getting off the grid and generating their own power or not, or living in kerosene lives and not on any sort of grid. That's not really this movement, is it?
Both. I mean, there's yeah. kind of two ends. There are people who are doing that mm-hmm. and who are more rural, but there are also people who are doing this in cities and suburbs. Portland, Oregon has a really strong tiny house movement, and there's a lot of people who are in the city living in tiny houses, and they're fully plugged into the grid, and they have, you know, tankless water heaters, they have running water in their homes, full electricity, things like that.
Yeah. So that sounds very Portlandia, though.
Exactly.
Portlandia episode about him, actually.
Is there? Oh, I didn't see that one. I'll have to look yeah. at. They're all good. In Brooklyn, do we see tiny houses in Brooklyn?
No, it's harder in the denser cities on the East Coast. There's a tiny house community in Washington D.C., mm-hmm. But you know, real estate is so expensive out here that people who own land, you know, tend to want to build higher mm-hmm. And go for apartment buildings and things like that. One drawback to tiny houses is just zoning codes can make it really difficult in some places to park a tiny house. So people yeah. just need to do research and make yeah. sure it's at least not legal to do it.
So that's why they put them on wheels to begin with, right? So you can get around zoning things?
Well, yeah, the wheels are actually more about the building codes than the zoning codes.
Yeah.
So actually what's interesting is, you know, tiny houses really came about because a lot of small houses are actually not permissible by current building codes. They usually have some sort of built-in minimum that starts at around 600 square feet. Mm-hmm. So for anybody who wants to build, say, 300 or 400 square feet, there really aren't a lot of options in most counties in the United States. And so for me, I wanted to build something more around 350 to 400 square feet. But when I started doing research, I realized that it wouldn't really be possible to build that size. I either had to build bigger and therefore more expensive, or smaller and put it on a trailer.
Yeah. And then, all right, let's say you get through on that. You didn't have many building skills, I guess, right, Chris? Is that true?
You could say that.
Yeah, so you had to learn as you, and that must have been difficult.
Yeah, it was. I think time-consuming is probably a better way to describe it. You know, I'd spend probably half of the time that I spent building the house actually learning what to do. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And so, but then let's say you get it all done. I mean, it's a big undertaking, and you get it on wheels, and you roll it somewhere, well, where you can. What is it like actually to live in one of these things, like, say, over a winter? And I mean, what did you discover?
Well, you know, I discovered that the size isn't, for me, at least, the size wasn't an issue at all. I actually...
That's what she said. I know. I might as well get that out of the way. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of jokes to be made.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed the sort of small space, cozy feeling of it during the winter. There's some challenges, of course, but most of the challenges, I think, in my house came with the design that I chose rather than the size. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of intentional because my, you know, the original purpose of my house was to be something I didn't live in full time. And then when I ended up living in it full time, some of those choices I made with that in mind just made things harder. So an example of that is the land I had didn't have any running water or a well on it. It was totally off the grid. So I chose not to put running water into my house, even though a lot of tiny houses do have that. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the hardest part really is just dealing with water and making sure I always have enough, you know, in the house, and you know, taking showers can be difficult and things like that. But it's totally manageable. You just have to readjust to that.
Marette, did you maybe go off the grid a little bit mentally? In there, it seemed like there's some shots of you longing for maybe something else.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely more of a city person.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, living and building in the tiny house definitely gave me an appreciation of how to live and design a small space so that it's comfortable, mm-hmm. which completely came in handy when I moved to New York City.
Yeah.
Well, and I, in Marette's defense, you know, I think when we made the film, you know, that's a thread of the storyline that we chose to bring out. But she was mm-hmm. really enthusiastic about the house. Maybe not as much as me, but she was supportive and she liked it.
So. She said she was inspired by you, so that's a good thing. Well, your work ethic and your dedication.
Oh.
There. Come on, you guys. At one point, she did say she didn't know she could live in a tiny house as a couple or something like that, right? The two of you.
Yeah.
You were thinking more of living in one alone, you know.
Yeah, I personally feel like it's a little too small for me to live in with another person. But people do it really well.
Yeah.
And I respect that.
What about 800 square feet? Could you work it out with 800 square feet with two?
Oh, yeah, totally. As long as there's a big porch.
You know, I think this is actually kind of... Marette is an introvert, and I'm an extrovert, so I think that has something to do with it, you know. She really needs her own space, whereas, you know, I'm perfectly happy chatting all the time.
You could have a tiny duplex, maybe.
Yeah, or two tiny houses parked next to each other.
Yeah, or just get a double-wide trailer. What the heck, you know?
Yeah.
By the way, is this very different from someone that wants to take their trailer out somewhere and just, you know, not trailer park it, but put it out in the woods somewhere? Kind of similar.
It's really only different kind of aesthetically. What's interesting about tiny houses is that, you know, they are wood, post, and beam constructed. They have a lot of the same design elements as regular houses, so a lot of them have peaked roofs and porches and things like that. And so a lot of people that we've talked to, you know, chose a tiny house over a mobile home because they wanted to live in something that felt a little bit more permanent, mm-hmm. even though it's on wheels. But... I mean, they're really similar, you know. It's more just design choices.
There's definitely a different feel when you walk into a tiny house. It just feels different than when you walk into a trailer, you know. And I think another interesting thing about the tiny house movement is that almost everybody either builds their own or has some involvement in the design of it. So you can really customize them to be exactly what you want, you know, given the size you have to work with. So I think that there are a lot of different elements that make them a little bit better of a solution, you know, that you feel like it's just a real house, just a little bit smaller. And for people wrapping their head around that, it's a lot easier than wrapping their head around poorly built, you know, manufactured house that has a stigma attached to it.
Mm-hmm. Do either of you see a tiny subdivision in the future? It'd be kind of cute.
Yeah, actually,
tiny town.
Yeah, a few people are working on that. And what's interesting, I mean, it is a trailer park zoning model that they're using. So it's very similar, but just with tiny houses.
That would be so cute.
Yeah.
Tiny town. Well, I want to thank you both. And we now need to mention, of course, that Tiny is the movie, a story about living mm-hmm. small, and it's like a major hit on iTunes and Netflix, and it was at South by Southwest. That's where it got kicked off, and that's a film that, if you're interested in this, you want to check this out, because it's a very well-received film, and I want to thank the both of you taking time, even if it was
thank
a little
so
time, to talk about this.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Can I say our website?
Yes,
on
please
air?
Do. Yes.
So it's tiny-themovie.com.
Tiny-themovie.com.
Yeah.
Right.
Marit Mueller and Christopher Smith, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
From New York in Cedar City, Utah. They're tiny. They're cute, and they're only this big. Very cute. I don't think there's still a couple, however. But, you know, things. You build your tiny house, and then time to move on.
You didn't ask them about whether they were a couple or not. It was very nice of you.
Let's get them back on. I think if they were, living like that probably would destroy it pretty quick. I can't imagine it. Can you?
Particularly living with no running water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even with running water, could I can't imagine. I do, because I have jail dreams. Any of you have jail dreams? Were you in a cell? I don't know why I have this feeling. It seems
is there
to be,
another somebody else in the cell with you?
No, I'm solitary.
That's
and it's about like 6x6, and there's bars and it's concrete, and I'm sitting there, and I'm absolutely claustrophobic to begin with. Plus, I'm in prison. I can't leave. And in one of the dreams, actually, my wife walked past with her arms folded. Oh my God, that's the warden. So I think it may have been about something else. I don't know. I couldn't live in that space, I don't think. Small space.
That's really small.
Yeah.
You got to have a little room to spread out.
Yeah, unless, you know, you had an IV of beer in here and you want to switch to something stronger in the other IV and a nice barco lounger would fill up the whole thing, though, you know. So, okay.
I don't think you could get
not for everybody, is what I'm saying.
Couldn't get a piano in there.
No, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You get that little Casio's driver.
Yeah,
so nuts.
Yeah. Little teeny one.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be kind of cute. Okay, then. So it looked like you want to promote something.
No.
Oh.
No.
Nothing going
I
on?
I wish I did have something to promote.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff, anything you want to promote?
He's playing outside all day today.
Playing outside?
Yeah.
Outside of what?
Outside in a thunderstorm.
Outside where?
outside of his comfort zone.
All right, never mind.
That's what he said.
I'm trying to give you guys a little promotion here, and this is what I... Are you at an event, outdoor event today?
Yeah, two private parties, so no need...
Oh, it's too private to talk about it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, how about some music then? Okay. You can do that, can't you?
From moment to moment.
Ah, I love it.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Jeff's getting a lot of mileage out of his kids during our little breaks here. Jeff, those of you at home don't know, Jeff is a spellbinder as a speaker. If you need a speaker at a party or a function or a lodge meeting or something like that, Toastmaster or something like that, Jeff, our bass player, is who you want. But, I mean, I used my kids mercilessly as subject matter for years and years. And now I can't talk about them anymore because they're adults. And they're no longer interesting as a result. Alex Zadrazil. Is that close? From Appleton. Oh, you're the Zadrazils? Yeah? Oh, come on. Let's meet the Zadrazils, everybody. Welcome to a new show. Meet the Zadrazils. I don't know if they're a typical Appleton family or not, but are you the patriarch of the Zadrazils?
Yes.
Good. And how would you characterize the family, the interest in the family and where you live and what kinds of things you do and what you like to share as family moments?
We like to go camping.
Oh, you do? You're campers.
Yeah. Well, once a year we go out to a peninsula park up in Door County.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Very much like a tiny house.
It's like a tiny house up there?
Yeah, in the tent.
But your house itself, the Zadrazil domicile, is not tiny?
No, it's not.
No. Did you build it yourself?
I had it built.
Yeah, What's your name, Mr. Zadrazil?
Sorry. John.
John Zadrazil. You had it built? Okay.
Yeah. About 30 years ago, I guess.
30 years ago? Okay. Yeah. And raised a fine brood here. How many in the brood?
Two sons.
Hi, brood. How are you?
Ryan.
Yes. I'm sorry. Do you resent being called a brood? I don't know if that's... It's not a bad thing. You can sit down now, I guess.
I'm Alex.
Ryan. And you, who's the older here?
I am.
Okay. And that would make you the younger?
Yep.
Okay. And how's the... Is there any tension between the younger Zadrazils here and the older ones? Yep.
Always. Every day.
Every day?
It's constant struggle.
Is it just personality or what? Is he always wrong? Is that?
He thinks he's always right.
Yeah. Do you?
No, clearly not.
You know, you don't think it. You know it, right?
Clearly, obviously not.
How much older is he than you?
I'm 19. He's 25.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a pretty insurmountable gap there. You sort of got the edge on you.
Yeah.
But he's out of the house, isn't he?
No, not quite yet.
You want to ease out of that, right?
At some point.
Yeah, just take it. My daughter's the same. Well, she's 23. She's still around. But we like having her, you know. I don't want to say anything, you know.
Well, he's not in school yet. He's still going to school, so he wants to stay around the house. It's cheaper for that.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's cool. And you're you in school as well?
I am going to UW Oshkosh in...
3 minutes? You're looking at your watch. So it's pretty quick.
9 days or so.
9 days. You're starting there?
Yep.
And what are you interested in taking there?
Political science or criminal justice.
Okay. Well, the two are related, I think.
Apparently in Rick Perry's world.
That's very good. And that's very good. And Mrs. Zadrazil, excuse me, I just want to talk to your mom here. How are you? Cheryl.
Good. Cheryl, yeah.
How are you?
I'm very good.
Oh. And the boys get along pretty well, don't they?
No. No, it's a day-to-day struggle.
Yeah. What causes the friction? Is it just the fact that one tells...
It is what doesn't.
Oh. I have two daughters. It's much the same thing, you know.
Yeah, I believe that.
That's okay. And Cheryl, what do you do besides being the mother of this wonderful brood?
The mother of this wonderful brood, and I am home, but I'm on two boards, Greenways. Yeah, Greenways, which is a nonprofit in Appleton, supports and promotes all the green spaces in that area. So whether you walk, bike, or paddle, we're sort of an advocate for all those different activities.
Oh, wonderful. What's the other board?
The other is Hope Cancer Connection, which is another nonprofit and supports cancer survivors.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. And are you on some boards as well, John?
No. No, she does all the board work.
Yeah. What do you do for a way of life or a walk of life?
I'm a public defender.
Public defender. Well, that's where that comes from. I'm from your dad. Oh, wonderful. That's wonderful. The Zadrazils, ladies and gentlemen. Meet the Zadrazils from Appleton. We have a little something for you. What can we give the Zadrazils to kind of...
How about All You Wanted to Know and Probably More with Bragging Rights, the Carolina-Clemson Rivalry. It's a DVD, a collector's book, trading cards of University of South Carolina legends over the past 100 years.
That's really disappointing.
Is that even football?
Does that
mean anything to you? Is that what that is, football?
Not a thing, but we're fact collectors. Everyone's our fact.
Okay. Anything else there that they might...
Fact collectors.
Give them the party game, you know, the one you know.
Yeah, how about that? What do you know party game with a Michael Feldman bobblehead?
You have two of those? No, they don't want
they don't want that. Okay. I'm trying to figure out what else they can do together.
Yeah. How about the book? Give them the book, the What Do You Know book. You don't have that, do you? Don't have that. They don't have the What Do You Know, all the facts that you go, you know.
Everything you thought you never wanted to know but didn't or something. Yeah, that's you can have a copy of that.
Or one. Something.
Like that.
Or didn't. Okay, nice to meet you all. Thanks for coming here and letting me annoy you. Thank you, dear. Cheryl, thank you all. The Zadrazils of Appleton. Then we've got the Langs of Plain. Plain, Wisconsin. We've got Scott Lang here. All the Langs here? Yeah. Are you sitting with the Reedsburg people?
Yeah. Well, yeah. They brought us along to the show. They invited us along.
Yeah. How did you link up with them? They're from out of town.
Friends through school and work.
Yeah. So we got here Scott.
That'd be myself, yes.
Yeah. Mr. Lang and is it Gina Lang? Yeah. Oh, Gina.
Yes.
Oh, hi. Okay. And then which Lang are you?
Isaac.
Isaac. Okay. I can't read your writing there exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
He
filled out.
Too. He filled out a couple of cards.
Yeah.
I filled out just because she didn't want to come here. So.
Did you hear something about it and you didn't?
Yeah, yeah, we've been here once before.
Oh, you went before, so in the end, that was enough experience for you.
Yes, right.
Aren't you glad now that you're being grilled on public?
Thrilled that you picked us.
Yeah. And your question was what about the corn?
Yeah, it's kind of like last resort. I was like, because I was thinking about it so long, and it's like I can't think of a really good one, so I just picked it.
There's a lot of pressure because we ask people to put a question. It doesn't have to be anything at all, really, and it usually isn't. And but you picked corn. Do you know anything about corn?
Yeah, we did a little research on the way. We did a lot.
You counted the ears of corn while driving past, or what?
No, I just looked up facts, yeah. Stuff.
You have it there in your pocket?
Yeah.
Data?
Yeah.
And what did you discover? Because your question is, what, about how many ears of corn per acre?
Yeah. I looked up a lot of questions. There's a lot. Yeah, there's like 30,000 ears of corn like per acre. Estimated about, okay. And we looked up other stuff like 800 kernels per a corn. So, yeah, we just figured out all the math and how much money it would cost per acre, which is like $400. Yeah. That's it per acre. Just going through the whole process, but
Anything else? Any other areas besides corn? Did you get?
No, that's it.
Yeah. Soybeans.
What about that, huh? Young people today learning about the world in which they live. I think that's a wonderful thing. Congratulations. Are you thinking of going into farming?
I don't know. I think ag's pretty cool. You know, it's interesting. Yeah. First time I went in, I didn't like it, but eating and stuff is really nice.
Eating's a nice thing, and you'd have that all available to you if things didn't work out. You'd always have. What do we have for the Langs here from Plain?
Well, if they're into numbers, we could give them a copy of Find Your Perfect Soulmate or Business Partner, Learn More About Yourself and Others Through the Science of Numbers from David E. Smith, Jr.
Yeah.
No? Okay.
How about that What Do You Know book? It has all those...
The things you thought you never knew, but you never wanted to know also?
Yeah.
That one?
Probably some acreage figures in there as well. Nice to meet you. Thank you. Thank you for coming back. I'm sorry. Thank you for coming. The Langs. We're going to play the What Do You Know quiz because that's what we do here, and that makes it all deductible on your tax return, the cost that you paid for $5 and up. So if I get you to come up here before we can play the quiz, you have to know who can and cannot participate in that quiz. And today we have...
Nancy Bowen from Wauwatosa, Wisconsin.
Nancy Bowen from Wauwatosa, Wisconsin.
Yes.
I'm
going to give this to you. Okay. Yes. Well, the four disclaimers are... All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. I'm actually living in a tiny house in my aquarium. Persons employed by the International House of Radio, or it's what? Lovely little place, and the water is clear and beautiful. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Beautifully done. You can keep that if you'd like to have it as a souvenir. If we can't pay you money for doing it. But... Let's see the hands of those of you who, your hand was up almost immediately, sir, so apparently this was a big thing for you. I just hope it's not too big. And are you a polo player? I noticed you have a polo player on your shirt.
I'm a golfer.
Oh, you're a golfer, are you? A duffer, shall we say?
No, I'm respectable.
Yeah. Okay, respectable. And your name is?
My name's Phil.
Phil?
Phil Poletti.
No one that tells their entire names anymore. I mean, in the past few years, I'm Phil, okay. Phil Poletti, how are you, Phil?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. And from, where are you from?
Kenosha.
Oh, from Kenosha. You said that. Yeah. The Poletti's of Kenosha.
Exactly.
It's a well-known name in Kenosha. Right. What are the Poletti's into in Kenosha?
My wife's an attorney. I'm a salesman. My son.
Family going back years and stuff. Poletti's.
My grandfather was a meat cutter.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, but
I've heard the name Poletti. Anyhow, Phil.
Right.
One good reason you should play this quiz.
Well, my sister-in-law had you as an English teacher at Tremper High School in Kenosha, and she didn't get you, but I get you.
Okay. Come on. That's a good reason. She didn't get me. All right. Oh, who was she then? What was her name? I probably still have her papers.
Am I allowed to say, honey? Her name was Carrie Letrick.
Yes, that name is familiar.
Yeah, but she didn't understand you. She didn't get you at all.
Yeah, well, that was...
Which is all the more reason why we watch you and listen to you all the time.
Oh, yeah. So that was motivating for you.
It was.
Well, that's good, yeah. And Kenosha sure has changed, though, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not from there originally. My wife is from there.
Oh, yeah.
I was up in Brookfield, actually.
Oh, you're in Brookfield. Brookfield sure has changed.
It has.
12 lanes of traffic.
But we actually lived in, Michael,
just
we lived
cow
in.
Cow path there.
Yeah. We lived in Virginia for about 27
that
years.
That sure has changed.
Yeah. And you've been down to the Roanoke area and done a couple of shows from there.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And went to see you at the Shrimp Fest. Remember?
I do remember that.
Remember the
shrimp eating contest? Is the most disgusting thing I ever did in my life.
My wife Mary was the one that was in charge of that.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, she was the president. It was the Kiwanis.
Oh, hi, Mary.
Yeah, it was the Kiwanis Club of
Roanoke.
It
was disgusting though, because you had to peel them.
Yeah.
And shove them in your face as fast as you could. I was, and you end up eating all of the shrimp.
So you remember available there too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you in that contest too?
I thought. I know, I wasn't in the contest, but I had some.
Oh, it was the most disgusting thing I've ever done in my life. Trying to eat a lot of shrimp fast.
Mary said she wasn't sure you were going to remember it. I said, I think you would remember
it's
that.
Definitely etched in my memory.
Yeah. Great.
And those memories that come to you in the middle of the night, and you go, oh, my God. Show me. It's really a hard feeling to do that. Do you do that? Shrimp? Pie eating, you know, is bad.
Yeah, shrimp. I don't think so.
Oh, boy, that was bad. So you're from, Roanoke's a nice place.
Yeah, we lived there 25, 26 years.
Yeah.
In the area, Blacksburg, Smith Mountain Lake, Roanoke.
Beautiful.
It was great.
It's beautiful around. Yeah, but a lot like Kenosha.
Oh, exactly.
Kenosha County, the county.
Well,
we're
out in the west side, so it's nice.
Well, that's very good. And what are you doing these days, did you say?
I'm in sales, in the energy coal industry.
Energy coals?
Yeah. So, it's fun.
You have to sell coal into people?
No, I work for a company that does processes to ship coal to make it, sure it stays in the coal rail cars like it's supposed to and keep it clean, things like that.
What do they call the ones that fall off the rail cars?
Derailments?
No, the individuals, there's a name for them. Like in the Depression, I know people didn't have anything.
Hobos?
No. The coal that would fall off the coal cars, they go and collect it and use it for their fires.
Sure.
And there's a name for it. I can't remember what it was.
Never heard that.
Clinkers or something?
Yeah, clinkers. Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay, there you go. See? Yeah. Yeah, I can talk to anyone
about
anything.
You can. You are very well-rounded.
Isn't that amazing? That's why I'm so good at cocktail parties. If you're having a cocktail party, would you please invite me?
How about public speaking? Are you good at...
No, that's Jeff.
That's Jeff. That's right.
Jeff does that.
I remember that.
Talks about his kids and breakthroughs and stuff like that. Phil, you know how this works? Some out there
I do.
Plays along with you. And
Let's get the guy from Radford, Virginia, because that's where we saw
that
on your computer.
I can't do that.
Come on.
That would be wrong. All right, here it is. I am here because I believe in the rule of law, is the quote of the week. I want to know who said that. I am here because I believe in the rule of law. Who said that in the news this past week? Let's go to the phones right now. You want to give that number? Because they're already called. So
sure, I can give the number, or we could not.
Okay. Fine. I'm glad you feel that way about things. Shirley. Oh, this is not working again. Do we know that? Or can you make it work so it works? Because this sounds kind of stupid, I just keep doing this. Yeah. Now? Hello? Shirley?
Yes,
hi,
I'm here.
Hi, Shirley. I'm so sorry.
Hi.
How are you? In Pickerington.
Well, I'm very well, thank you. And how are you?
Ohio. I'm fine, thanks. I'm fine. Have you got a big day lined up, Shirley? Busy?
Just some errands and people coming over for dinner tonight. But I want to tell you, I saw you. when you were in Westerville at Otterbein College a few weeks ago.
Yeah, drinking on stage.
I was in the audience.
Drinking on stage on the dry campus, you mean that show?
Yeah.
That was fun. We had a fun time there, but I really did not do that on purpose. Please tell people that was purely accidental.
It was not on purpose.
It was not on purpose. The drinking was on purpose, but I didn't realize it was a dry campus.
And you know what?
What?
You're very handsome.
Shirley, you jest.
You are. And you're younger than I thought you were, because I've seen pictures of you.
Oh, okay.
So do I already win?
Huh? And you won the What Do You Know quiz. What does Shirley win? Well, I got to ask you this question anyhow. I'm here because I believe in the rule of law as a quote of the week from who?
Oh, gosh. And I read the paper and watch all the news.
Yeah, possible Texas governor.
Rick Perry?
Yes, that's the one. Holy cow. I don't know how you got that. It pays to read the paper. Nothing to do with the fact that you think I'm handsome. Shirley.
Yes.
Shirley, this is Phil. He's your partner here.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Phil.
Okay, and then that was a nice meeting. Yeah. And then the two of you just work together and collaborate on this because we are cooperative.
Yes.
If nothing else, aren't
Correct.
We?
Correct. Yes.
Yes. And you have various categories, don't you?
Yep, and they are current events.
Bitsy?
Yes. Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Shirley, you can take the first one. What would you like?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Okay. Is Pickerington near Westerville?
It's about a 20-minute drive. Oh, yeah, it's far. Close.
Yeah. Odds and ends, did you say?
Yes.
Okay. Who's more unpopular, Republicans in Congress or Vladimir Putin?
The Republicans in Congress.
Or Vladimir Putin.
Who is he?
You don't know Vladimir?
Who he is?
Vladimir Putin.
He's the head of Russia.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't say who
I
is
would
he.
Say he's more unpopular.
Okay.
Oh, unpopular. I thought you said popular.
No, unpopular.
Oh, unpopular. Putin.
Putin is
Putin
right.
Is. Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. There we go.
It would be one right.
That out.
One right and zero wrong.
Very good.
Popular.
No, unpopular.
Okay. Yes, you are.
You got a fan,
no,
Michael.
I didn't say I'm popular. I said unpopular. Oh, never mind.
Whatever.
So confusing.
The categories left are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, or science.
Phil?
People.
People it is.
Let's try people.
Okay. Yeah, people. All right. During a conference call, you're on a conference call, are more people texting, eating, or going to the bathroom?
I would say that's pretty easy. It's got to be texting.
I'll agree.
Right. Let me state it again.
Yeah.
On a conference call, this is when you're conferring with more than one person, are more people texting, eating, or going to the bathroom?
Maybe eating.
I'd go along with that.
Are you still saying texting?
No, I still think it's texting, but, you know, perhaps it's eating.
You can fight for that belief if you want.
Well, I know when I'm on conference calls, that's typically, unfortunately, what I'm doing.
You're texting?
Yeah.
What, eating or texting?
Texting.
Or going to the bathroom.
I rarely. I don't
Surprising
do that.
Number, by the way, I will tell you, are going to the bathroom on your conference call. Think about that next time you're on one.
Yeah.
Is that a tinkle?
You have to put the phone on mute to flush, I guess.
I suppose. I don't know how they do it. So you're saying eating or texting?
Oh, I'm saying texting. Surely I'm...
No. I'll go with you.
Okay, he's wrong.
it's
eating.
Eating, yeah.
Yeah. That would have been my second choice.
All
for
right.
this.
No, don't worry about it.
All right.
What remains there?
That's one right and one wrong, and the categories left are current events, places, things you should have learned in school, or science.
Okay. Shirley, back to you. What would you like?
Current events.
Current events. What fast food retribution do the Russians take against U.S. interests in Moscow? Fast food
Did
retribution.
You repeat that?
What?
Did it have something to do with the Colonel Sanders chicken?
No. No. Not that fast food.
Yeah, would it be that other...
Is that you or is that him? That's exactly what he does. Same thing.
Healthy McDonald's?
It was McDonald's.
Yeah.
What did they do? You're saying they closed down four McDonald's in Moscow?
Right.
Shirley, you agree with that? Yes.
All right.
They closed down.
That would be two.
Mickey D. Skis.
Two right, one wrong. Categories left are things you should have learned in school or science.
Do you like her new frames? She has new frames.
Yes.
They're very nice, I think. They're really growing on me.
Thanks. I just in case people couldn't tell at first glance that I worked at public radio. Yeah, I thought I'd get the stereotypical public radio glasses.
Those are?
Yeah, well, sure.
That's what they're wearing. Okay.
She's very pretty, too.
Yeah. She's very pretty. Okay. Is it your turn, Phil?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Well, I never paid attention in high school, so that's probably a good...
Let's see if it comes back to haunt you. What's 48,000 kilometers long and runs from Alaska to the tip of Argentina? I'll tell you that it's a highway.
Alaskan highway? No, that comes to the United States.
We can hear you think, Shirley. Did you know that?
Was it the Transcontinental Highway?
The what?
The Transcontinental Highway?
Yeah, it'd be a nice name for a highway, I guess, if there was such a thing.
Yeah.
I would consider using that. 48,000.
Did you repeat it?
Yeah. What's 48,000 kilometers long, runs from all the way from Alaska to the tip of Argentina, all along the sort of the right.
The across, West Coast Highway?
Across the whole American. The Americas.
America's Highway?
It pans all the way across the
America. Pan American Highway.
Pan American Highway! Holy cow!
Phil, when you want to find out about future promises from the 1950s, like the space elevator, the home atomic pile, or the Studebaker bass boat, you'll find them all in Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
Bass boat.
Okay. What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know. That's the name of the book from Source Books.
Yeah.
And Shirley, you can begin every morning with a burst of What Do You Know audience enthusiasm, drinking Stephen Brew's breakfast blend coffee, and soothe away afternoon cares with smooth and tasty Costa Rican Terrasu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee. That's coffee done right.
Excellent.
And each of you can clean up America's Dairyland way with a bar of handmade What Do You Smell soap, combining the Wisconsin scents of sweet clover and sharp cheddar from the Screaming Porch in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, and get loads of good, clean fun with What Do You Know the Party Game, including the non-biodegradable Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you, sir. All right, Phil. Thanks very much for playing. Shirley, hang on. Make sure you get that. Thanks, dear.
Hey, Oklahoma, what do you know is heading your way on Saturday, October 25th. We'll be at the Oklahoma City Community College. That's October 25th. For ticket information, call the box office, 405-682-7579, or go to notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI. That's Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, that guy over there, he's our producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we take to the beach with our town of the week, plus all the news that is, thanks for the memos, and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI, affiliate stations, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who can't find a tiny house small enough for him, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, each week at this time, we read actual memos and other things, including this week, three real bad ideas and all the news that is around here. So, three real bad ideas from this week, I think. Number one is the lighthearted swastika wear. Peace and Love by a swastika is the kind of like cute-looking little swastika things you can wear on your clothing, you know, clothing designed with swastikas and stuff, trying to de-horrify the swastika in women's wear, mostly. that's a really bad idea. This is a pretty bad idea. Those who'd like to highlight and make use of the swastika's original meaning, among them artist, designer, Sinjin Wesson, whose spiritual punks line of clothing inspired people to more loving and accepting to all, treats the swazi as a feel-good icon. Real bad idea. Okay. All right, here's another really bad idea. The invisibility cloak, octopus-inspired camouflage system. They are now able to make a material that, like the octopus, can mimic its environment. Okay? So, you know, there's, for example, in this picture here, which you can't see at home, but you couldn't see it here either, because there's an octopus on the sea bottom. You cannot see there's an octopus there because its skin has properties where it can actually mimic its surroundings. They're now able to make a material that does that, but what are they going to use them for? They're going to put them around phones. Okay? They'll be like phone covers. So if you put your phone down on the couch, it will mimic the couch. You think you can't find it now. That's a really bad idea. I'm sorry. Yeah, bad idea. And this is kind of like this online here. You know, you get to see these things online sometimes or on Twitter, and you follow these things, and you never know. This is not so much a bad idea, I don't think, necessarily, but I thought it was very an interesting idea. It's called A New Age for Soccer Games Must Begin. And it reads, to make soccer games more entertaining for spectators, new offside lines must be added. The professional soccer games are played for the spectators to enjoy it and have a nice time. People pay money and spend time to enjoy the teams to win or lose. They are not played for the games and have a nice time. This is the goal of the soccer games. And some teams are killing the game by playing the offside trick. I watched the World Cup and 2 billion people paid to watch the games on TV. This trick, therefore, the game is killed and their enjoyment is killed by the offside trick. Okay, so how to eliminate the offside trick in the soccer game? We must change the rules and put two new lines on the soccer field as shown in the drawings. We have the drawings here. I wish I could portray this, but we're on radio. Shown in the drawings, the offside is no more than the defending team has to go where as soon as the ball crosses this line back and defend its goal and not use the offside trick anymore. Now, the offside trick is used throughout the field so the defending team can kill the game yard line in other, as soon as 18 crosses the, as soon as a player with a, but not anymore. There will be no offside anymore. In other words, a player with the ball crosses more, and in this narrow area of the field, everybody is free to move as they want and fend and not use the trick of the offside to kill a wonderful defender. Team has to retreat in the game of soccer.
Bad idea.
Okay. Did you put that through Google Translate?
No.
Is that actually English?
That's the way it came out.
Okay.
Yes. So that's a bad idea. And on a lighter vein, all the news that is from around here mostly, yes. Leading it, of course, to the woman who crashed Madison's zoo and went into giraffes, tried to kiss a giraffe, and got kicked in the face. She got her kiss, but she got a kick in the face after it. And the funny part is, Nora and I were walking our puggle, and we walked past the zoo there, and there were all these cop cars outside the zoo entrance. And so, you know, what went on? And this couple came out, and first the guy came out, and he was holding a bunch of toweling, and looking very flustered, and his girlfriend came out, and she was holding her, and so, oh, God, did he hit her, or what? You know, one of those zoo incidents you hear about? you know, because she, or did she, was she drunk, and she fell on her face, because she was, you know, she was sort of gushing blood, but then they patted them down and put them in the police car, and I thought, both of them, you know, so I thought, what the heck is this, and it turns out she is the famous woman now across the country who went in and liked giraffes a lot, and wanted to relate to the giraffes. This is the story. A California woman was ticketed by Madison police after climbing into a zoo giraffe exhibit. Says she plans to fight the citation. I was not trying to harm the giraffe. I just don't think it's fair. Amanda Hall of San Luis Obispo told the Los Angeles Times, I got hit in the face by a giraffe. I don't need a fine and this on my record. She's 24 years old. Hall, who described herself as an animal lover, climbed over one fence and was partially through a second fence that surrounds the giraffe exhibit at Henry Vilas Zoo. And Wally, Wally liked her at first. Wally, a 2-year-old, 12-foot-tall giraffe, licked Hall's face, then turned around and kicked her in the face, according to Madison police.
Sounds like love.
It does, rather. The alleged trespassing occurred at 5:30 p.m. Saturday. Zoo staff advised that giraffes are capable of killing lions and that Hall was lucky not to have been more seriously injured, according to police, who cited Hall for harassment of zoo animals, which carries a $686 fine. So that's... And that was around here. Okay. More on this as it develops, but I'll let you know what comes of it. See if it goes to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, it's a tall tale.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. I didn't have any wave out of that, and that helped a lot. Man breaks into home of Wausau. Police chief steals his truck. It's pretty good. A Michigan man broke into the Wausau police chief's home, stole his truck. 39-year-old Jason Warner faces up to 19 years in prison. That's a little excessive. It was just an F-150.
Not like it was a 250.
Oh, jeez. If convicted on the felony and misdemeanor charges, Marathon County Sheriff's Department said the break-in happened Tuesday at Police Chief Jeff Hartle's home in town of Maine. Officers from the State Patrol picked Warner up after getting a call about a man walking along Interstate 94. So where was the truck? I wonder at this point. That's disturbing. They said his family reported him missing, so obviously this guy has got more going on than this truck thing. Come on, people. Authorities said they found Hartle's truck about 4 miles away at a rest stop, so... It wasn't immediately clear if he had an attorney. So I don't know. That's not even such a good story. Now, there is this release from Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, the man who rhymes with Wisconsin, entitled, this is a press release, What Does Government Think It Ought to Make You Give Up Bacon? Oh, Why Does Government Think It Ought to Make You Give Up Bacon? It's a press release based on the fact that they're concerned about nutrition of various products and issued something on that about nutrition. And Senator Ron Johnson, always on these topics, said that the state is going to outlaw the sale of bacon. So, not true so far. Okay. That's all the news that is around here. And in the memos department, most of the memos that we get from listeners have to do with restrooms at work. I'd say 9 out of 10.
There are a lot of those.
Yeah, it's about all. Anything you're likely to get a memo, it'll be about restroom behavior, whatever. Here's just an example. Well, here's one. I'll do this, a warm up to it. Help us prevent clogged toilets and sewer lines. This is a long thing here. Things that you should not throw in the toilet, especially at work. Cigarette butts, tampons, sanitary napkins, tissues, hair, condoms, insects, cotton swabs, diapers, floss, and baby wipes. Okay. More to the point, here is this memo distributed at workplace bathroom etiquette. You spend 8 hours or more at work 5 days a week. Part of that daily time will be spent in the workplace bathroom. We want to make sure the workplace bathroom is a comfortable, approachable place. We would like you to share these etiquette tips with all of your employees and team members. Please refrain from talking on your cell phone. It's awkward for everyone. From other employees in the bathroom who can't help but listen to your portion of the conversation to the person you are talking to, or who can hear the toilet flushing in the background. Everyone's bathroom time is private. Please help keep it that way. Please refrain from talking on your cell phone while in the bathroom. Urinal time is not the time to chat with a coworker. No matter how close you are. Please keep the office gossip confined to the water cooler. Or urinate at the cooler. Those are two possibilities. They got a little drain there. I don't see what the problem is. Please wash your hands. There is no reason for not washing your hands after using the bathroom. In the business world, you could be shaking many hands and touching door handles, phones, writing instruments, etc., which will spread germs throughout the office. Since the office is a shared workplace, please be considerate to others and wash your hands. Keep it clean. Even though we have a wonderful day matron, she can't be everywhere at once. It would be a fairy, I guess. It would be like a day fairy instead of a matron if she was everywhere at once. Please treat the bathroom as if it were your bathroom at home. Keep it clean for others who use it. If you create a mess or splash water, please clean it up or wipe the counter. Do you do this at home? I don't recall ever doing any of those things. If you drop a paper towel or toilet paper on the floor, please pick it up. Using a communal bathroom can be a difficult experience. This should be one of those little slide film strips they used to have. This would be a film strip. Please share these tips for using the workplace bathroom, and hopefully it will save other employees and team members from bathroom-related anxiety. Thank you so much. Thanks for that memo. Thanks for the memo. Where can they send those, Bitsy?
They can send those memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the subject line memos, or if they go to notmuch.com, they can post it there.
Okay, and speaking of Bitsy, Sarah Nix, you know, we honor a town, a village, a burg, what have you, on a rearranged map of the United States every week, almost. Some weeks, not at all. Your Earth, the Town of the Week is Sarah Nix.
Our town of the week this week is Bonita Springs on Florida's southwestern coast. It got its start back in the 1870s when government surveyors set up camp next to a spring, which was rumored to have healing properties. Huh. The encampment was initially named Survey, for obvious reasons. Only a few people were living in the area when, in the 1880s...
Can I just stop it for a second? Survey for obvious reasons?
Yeah, because it was a surveyor's camp. So they named it Survey.
Okay. Sorry, I missed that part.
Yeah. So there were only a couple of people living there in about 1880 when a guy named Braxton B. Cummer bought 6,000 acres there. He was hoping to, and he did, set up a plantation for growing pineapples, bananas, and coconuts.
Huh.
The fruit groves and the village grew slowly through the early days of the 20th century. By 1920...
Your voice changed.
It seemed so poetic. By 1910, Survey had about 20 families. It had a log house school.
Survey.
Yeah, and a two-story hotel, which catered to visitors, and they came to southwestern Florida for hunting and fishing.
Uh-huh.
The village's name changed to Bonita Springs in the early 1920s when a real estate developer moved in. He decided that Survey didn't have sales appeal, so they renamed the new town Bonita Springs.
Huh.
Pretty place. Uh-huh. Until then, people had been traveling mainly by boat.
But isn't there? There's a fish, isn't there?
There's a Bonita's a fish as well, yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently there are lots of... They also nicknamed the town Fiddlerville because of all the fiddler crabs on the beach. But the official name is now Bonita Springs. People had been traveling mainly by boat to the area until about 1920 when a rough road went in from Fort Myers to Bonita. More people moved to the area, and the tourists, of course, started coming too. They came for hunting and fishing and shell gathering. These days, Bonita Springs is still a tourist town, a retirement town, a place for second homes. The population is about 44,000 people, and from what I can tell, it seems like a great place to visit. It's surrounded with nature preserves, beach parks, wildlife sanctuaries. There are manatees and dolphins and rare birds. There's also a thriving arts center with special film screenings, live performances, and visual arts exhibitions.
Wow, that going on.
Yeah, and that's our town of the week, Bonita Springs, Florida.
Thank you, Lindsay. Springs, Florida, our town of the week. We are calling randomly right now. Lyle's not here, so Adam is just acting randomly in Lyle's little booth there. Lyle had to go to a wedding. I was opposed to it, but he went in anyway. Anyway, as we say around here. So, okay, and then we're going, and he's dialing randomly. He's not doing anything, he's just sitting there. Shouldn't you be looking for someone?
He's ignoring you.
Yeah. Adam?
Oh, just like Lyle.
Yeah, you got it down. What are you saying? Oh, there is someone. Lee Shine from Bonita Springs, Florida is online with us right now, our town of the week. Hi, Lee.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm good.
It's a beautiful day, I bet you, in Bonita Springs, isn't it?
It is a beautiful day.
Yeah. Yeah. How are you going to spend it, do you think?
Mostly talking to you.
That's it?
Well, that's the highlight. After that, I don't know, beach, out to dinner, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. What beach do you go to in Bonita Springs? Is there a favorite one?
Well, my favorite is one right near our house. You know, our beaches have consistently won top beaches by, that guy Dr. Beach, who rates beaches around the world.
Dr. Beach rated, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a PhD.
Yeah. Probably from Wisconsin, too, actually. And so is there a name for that beach, or don't you want to tell us because you'd have to kill me?
If we tell you, then everybody's going to come down here. But pretty much all our beaches really look nice. They're all sandy and have lots of nice shells.
That's nice. It sounds beautiful. And are you a healthy, tan individual? Are you like?
No, it's too hot, so everybody stays inside.
Yeah, so no one actually goes on the beaches. That's interesting. The locals don't, but other people. And are you from there originally, Lee? Or?
No, I'm originally from Chicago.
There you go. Now we're talking.
There's very few people other than those surveyors who are from here originally.
When did you come down?
I've been here about 10 years.
That's pretty good. And what were you doing up in Chicago that compelled you to head for Bonita Springs?
Actually, we've lived a lot of different places and came here primarily for the weather. And even though it's hot and humid right now and feels like it's about 104 in January when it's 70, you wouldn't want to be in Madison.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, it's hot and humid in Madison, but, you know, you go outside and there's no beach. You're in Madison. You know, I mean, it's and we have little lakes and things, but, you know, they're all blue-green algae covered, you know.
You do tend to take that for granted when you're here and you just live here all the time. You kind of forget about the fact that you can go out and get beautiful sunset off the west coast here pretty much every night.
So are you saying your lifestyle has not changed dramatically from your Chicago lifestyle to Florida lifestyle?
Not dramatically, no.
Yeah.
We do have a lot of retirees down here who, you know, spend their time playing golf, but I still work, so I'm not really doing that a lot. And we have a lot of what we call snowbirds, people who come down from the Midwest, like Madison.
Oh, sure.
This season.
Yeah, it's probably so. Just yell Packers and yell Go Packers, see who turns around on the beach.
Exactly.
Or the Bears, come on. Them too. And so what field are you in, Lee?
Actually, I do consulting. I actually do some performing at the Art Center that you mentioned. We do a great Art Center here, do some improv, and actually I do some voiceover work.
You do? Yeah, boy, so you're busy. You do voiceovers for commercials and such. And what are you doing as far as performing?
At the Art Center we've got here, we've got a new improv group that's going, so it's a little bit Chicago-style improv, but kind of local to Bonita.
Yeah, well, how cool. Oh, cool.
You can come visit.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
Save you a seat.
Now, if we were coming down there, I'm not saying we are, but I'm saying if, and we wanted to come down there and not, you know, I mean, obviously the beaches and that sort of thing, but is there like an insider's tour of Bonita Springs that you take us on?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's see. One of the things would be there is actually a spring here. A resort that's called Shangri-La, and of course, like every spring in Florida, rumored to be the Fountain of Youth.
Okay, and
it, want to stop there.
It has those qualities and others, I'm sure. And people come down there to take the waters.
You know, it's been closed for many years, so I think it's been kind of a hidden gem. But we would take you there.
Okay, that's cool. Start in Shangri-La. It's a good place to start. But they have to stay there because otherwise you age terribly after.
You just have to stay in the water
in
order to be preserved.
Okay, in Shangri-La, then where we go?
Well, let's see. Our favorite restaurant's a place called The Table Apart. That's right here near our house in Bonita.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're right in between. We're south of Fort Myers and north of Naples, but we would try to just keep you right here in Bonita Springs.
Yeah.
And
Table Apart, and what do we get there? What's featured?
That's a sort of an interesting fusion of Hawaiian French, if you can believe that.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Fresh, local kind of stuff.
So it's Spam in garlic sauce.
With pineapple.
With pineapple.
And, of course, we'd have to spend some time at the beach and watch the sunset. I mean, even if it's hot all day, you can always go and watch the sunset. And we have a beautiful sunset over the water.
Yeah. And is there carousing that goes on the beach after sunset or...
There probably is, but where we are, it's very quiet. So there's carousing in some other areas, especially during spring break. But that's more in Fort Myers.
Yeah.
You know,
do they come down to Bonita Springs for spring break?
Not really.
Some of the older spring breakers, maybe.
Yeah. So the over 70 spring breakers.
Cool. All right. So now we're watching, and then the rest of our evening, what do we do?
don't know, do you play golf?
No.
Neither do I.
Okay, cool.
But we do have a really good mini golf. Can you do that?
Yeah, sure.
That's nice. And that does have a giraffe, actually.
There's a giraffe at the mini golf?
Yeah, but yeah. Otherwise I don't think we have any giraffes down here, but plenty of bacon.
Okay.
But mini golf, I would say, then we've kind of hit the high spots already.
Yeah. Further libation, or if we're going, we want to go out clubbing, let's say.
Then you'd probably want to stay in Madison.
There's no disco scene, no little beach disco scene going on or anything like that?
No, but it might be a good idea if you want to come down and get start one.
I don't think that's going to happen. So pretty much we go to bed after the sunset on the beach, huh? And then we plan for the next day.
Pretty much. I think that would be good. You know, and of course we want to wash out our shells we collect. We want to collect shells and bring those home.
Yeah. And as far as living in Bonita Springs, living in Florida as opposed to living in Chicago, has it been good?
I think it is beautiful. It's warm. It's particularly good in January. But I think it is always nice to visit places like Chicago and get a dose of disco or whatever it is that is in Chicago you can't find here.
Yeah. Okay. But have you adapted? You still feel like more of a Chicagoan or?
I think I used to think snowbirding was for really old people, and maybe I'm getting really old, but I think it actually has benefits. I think you really can't find everything in one place.
Mm, that's true. Well, Lee, I want to thank you very much for speaking with us. You've been very kind to do so. We have a little something for you.
We do. Lee, we'll be sending you the golden glory of the Badger State in an assortment of natural, organic, handcrafted cheeses from Southwest Wisconsin Cedar Grove Cheese.
Thanks, Lee.
Great, thanks. I hope you're going to put out ice when you send it.
Lee Shine, ladies and gentlemen, from our town of the week, Bonita Springs, Florida. Okay.
Sounds like a nice place down there.
Sounds very nice. I think we should do this.
Yeah.
Work this into our schedule, I think.
Perfect.
Now, do you want to take this?
Oh, yeah. Somebody's got to throw the dart for our next
town. Find someone in the audience who can throw a dart, which will pick our town of the week. There's a young man over there I see already.
Who? Anybody? Anybody?
Yeah. So see that man,
you know,
man
oh,
over
that
there.
Person over
yeah,
there.
Over there. You go over here. Get him. He looks like a dart.
You throw. Wanted a chance too, huh?
I'm fine.
Okay, good. We'll let the more junior member of the audience take it over. Hey. What's your name?
My name's Ryan.
Ryan what?
Tyne.
And you're still on summer vacation?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you can end it here. Follow me. Do you have a dart throwing experience?
None at all.
None at all? Not ever, ever?
Oh, my God.
No.
Is that something that's gone with the generations? Do people your age not throw darts anymore?
Probably.
Okay. Well, here's your big chance. Watch your step. Here's your dart. Keep your eyes open. Just throw it at the board.
As hard as you can.
Yes. That would be Muskogee, Oklahoma. Thanks.
Oh, good one.
Happy summer.
There you go. You win the Wonder Collected Puzzle Books. Nice job. Muskogee. How about that? Well, that's pretty good. Okay, that'll be Town of the Week for next week, or maybe not. Depending on how things go. 3 weeks. Next, or maybe not. Sometimes we get to them, sometimes we don't, but I'm glad we did today.
I am too. Sarah does a great job. So
yes.
Fabulous. I always look forward to that.
Oh, you do? Oh, nice for you. I think we have a little time here. If a lot of people look forward to your songs that you play, this jazz music that's become so popular among today's youth.
Wacky and just crazy.
It is, and it never comes out the same twice.
No, it doesn't, even when you try.
I know, because I've heard each song maybe 500 times by now.
Let's go for 501.
Yes, what's this next song? Tell us a little something about it.
I don't know anything about it, really.
Yeah.
But You Do Something to Me.
Oh, that's a wonderful song. John Tooling, Jeff Hammond on the bass.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh. Say, I just wanted to thank whoever sent me up the rubber gloves here. Unfortunately, it's a large animal veterinarian. You know, and I... okay.
Exam.
Boy, it's a long one, too. Oh, you know, if you're wearing a sleeveless outfit, this is just what you want, one of these gloves that go all the way up to your whatever is up there. Look at that, baby. Look at that, baby. You know, if you're putting a little product in your hair, I probably is what you're using this
cough.
For. Where is the gentleman who gave me this instrument here? No, oh, it figures it would be you. Come on, stand up here a second. I don't think we take the same size in gloves, though.
Well, howdy there, Mike. You look pretty darn good with that glove on. Do you know what you can all do with that glove?
I think you're gonna, what I all could do with that glove, I don't like the way that started.
Well, what do you think you could do with that glove?
It's probably a glove where you go up behind the cow and you pull it in there. And you go, rah, 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 I think I got it. Rah, 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 oh, no, wrong one. Oh, rah, 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 rah. Something like that.
Would you like to ride with me for a day?
No.
Is that used for you? This is where you actually...
I use it for lots of different things. Yes, yeah. I use it for pregnancy checking cows. I use it for delivering calves. Yep. Yeah. Usually a messy job.
Yeah.
And so that's why I would have you.
And...
Well, when
do
you get
them in pairs, or just
you get a hole in it, you know it pretty quick.
Yeah. They don't come in pairs though.
No, boxes of 100 at a time. So yeah. Y'all have. Well, actually, you know, I brought spares just in case you broke that one. So. And your kids are a little too big to do this to, so what you can do. You got instant animal balloons right here. About a 2.5 foot, 3 foot long glove.
What is that supposed to be?
Well, you know, somebody was talking about training their kids. Yeah. Guess what? You can do this all day long to your kid, and you
can just put it on your hand and hit him with that,
well,
and not
you can
get
do that
dirty.
Too, but yeah. So yes, it's just one of the many tools that I use.
That's wonderful. What did you say your name was again?
John.
John. John, I want to thank you so much. It doesn't come off as the only problem. Oh God, I feel all weird now.
You know,
that wasn't a used. Was that a used one?
No. I brought you a fresh, clean one. Yeah. So.
And where do you do this animal husbandry?
I am a vet up in Reedsburg, Wisconsin.
In Reedsburg, everyone's from Reedsburg. Beautiful Reedsburg.
Thank you, sir.
Nice to have you here, John. And your son is
AJ.
AJ, how you doing? Pretty good. All right. Does he give you a lot of stuff like that? Hits with the inflated.
No, pretty good.
Yeah.
Are you going to be a vet too?
No.
What do you want to do?
I want to be a mechanic.
You have to wear gloves for that so much. Well, probably could. The grease, maybe in the grease pit, wear those too. Oh, where? I had cards here somewhere. Otherwise, I don't know who I'm talking to half the time. Well, what about you, though? I know I should talk to you. Where'd you say you were from?
I live in Corpus Christi, but I'm a Youper.
A Youper who went to Corpus Christi. I don't think it's ever been done before. You go from the Upper Peninsula to Corpus Christi.
We just had a new engineer from Iron Mountain start down in Corpus Christi, too. I have to interpret for her from the Texan.
So, I mean, life wasn't, fast enough for you up in the UP or what?
Well, I'm looking forward to going back up there to retirement. Yeah. Kind of one of those tiny cabins. It's actually bigger than the tiny houses you were talking about.
Yeah.
But the problem is it's got an outhouse. My wife doesn't like that.
No. You might have to leave her in Corpus Christi.
Yeah, maybe.
So they have, you know, indoor plumbing.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? You talk about these tiny houses stuff. Up here we call them cabins, basically.
Yeah, or camps. Yeah. So.
Okay. And then, all right. So what have you been doing down there in Corpus Christi all this time?
Well, I work in an oil refinery. I'm a process engineer doing overpressure protection. I'm the last line of defense before something blows up.
Yeah, okay. You're a good man to have in there.
Yes.
So. Your name again is?
Jim Peterson.
Jim Peterson, ladies and gentlemen, your last line of defense. Good to see you, Jim.
Thank you.
And go Packers!
Yes, thank you.
Go Packers! You know, I've never met a Youper I didn't like. Is that true?
I would think so.
Maybe you've probably met some because he lived up there.
Oh, yeah, I met a lot of good people up there.
Yeah. Good man. Them Youpers, they're everywhere now. And now it's a word in dictionary. Did you see that?
Yeah, we're protected class now.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
What? We're a protected class now.
You're in the Miriam, so yeah, I guess you're protected. I got all your cars mixed up here. It's too bad. But that's okay here now. Let's just see what this one might say. How many ears of corn and an acre? Oh, I did that one already. we got the veterinarian getting on. I'll just talk to people. I don't need carrots to talk to people. That's a what?
This one. Huh? Talk to this one.
Oh, this one. Hi.
Hi. I'm supposed to talk to you.
Okay, I'm Mary. I'll talk back.
Hi, Mary.
That's one of my habits. I talk back.
Oh, yeah, and you're from Kenosha. You're the one actually from Kenosha.
Yes, I'm from Kenosha. Yeah. Born and raised.
Where'd you go to high school?
Tremper.
Tremper. Yay. The Fighting Trojans. Okay.
I did not have you as an English teacher, and I've been mad about it ever since. So. Yeah.
Well, see, I was there 70, 71, 72, around there, 73, 74.
So, yeah, I just got there in 74, so then you were leaving.
Yeah. Well, then I was over at the alternative school.
Yeah. I didn't make it over there.
No. Well, very nice to meet you. And anything else I should ask her about?
No, yeah, that pretty much covers it. You don't want to ask her about her sister that had you?
No, I don't want to get into that, you know.
Remember that? Your beanbag?
I did have beanbags. So my experience in Kenosha was, okay, so I came from Madison, Wisconsin. You know, this is 1970 I graduated. Okay. So I went down to Tremper High School in Kenosha, which had a reputation of being somewhat more conservative than Madison, Wisconsin. And I'm driving down there, and I'm coming up the street towards Tremper. I see smoke rising from the building. I think, oh, my God, the revolution has hit. Tremper High School. It was Senior Bratwurst Day. When I interviewed for the job, the guy asked me, he said, would you ever consider sitting cross-legged on your desk in a yoga posture while teaching? And I said, no, I would never consider that. And, of course, I did. I mean, eventually, you know. So anyhow, it was a little disconnect when I went down. And so what I did in my room was I thought, well, you know, these confining desks are what's holding back education, having to sit in a desk. So, and somehow they let me do this. I can't believe they did. We moved out all the desks, and I let the kids bring in chairs, easy chairs, couches. They brought all this stuff. You know, they hauled it in themselves. And we painted the walls. We put an Aztec, a girl from Mexico painted an Aztec border around the room and stuff because, you know, why not? It was 1971. That's why we did it. And, you know, the funny part of it is, and the classes went very good, actually, but I during, like, student programs and stuff, I would naturally go back to my room so I didn't have to sit in the auditorium for those pep rallies or whatever it was. And I'd go back there, there'd always be, like, an English teacher sleeping on the couch in my room. So that's pretty much my entire teaching experience.
Well, I'm sorry I missed that.
It went pretty good, though, overall. Well, nice to meet you. Let's wander around here now because I don't have the cards and I'm working without a net. That's okay. How are you doing? Pretty good?
Doing good, yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing these days?
I'm going to high school.
Are you? And you, that's right. You said that before. Where are you going?
Reedsburg.
Reedsburg. And you're in sports, I bet you.
No, I've hurt my knee dirt biking, so.
Oh, no. Sorry to hear it.
Yeah.
Is it bad or?
Torn meniscus. But.
A torn meniscus. That can't be good. I don't know what it is, but I'd rather not have a torn meniscus.
Yeah.
What sports were you in before you tore your meniscus?
Football and soccer.
Is that something that'll be repaired? Or
No, it doesn't grow back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What are you going to do now? There goes your career. You had a promising career.
Still ski and dirt bike.
Okay, no matter how many meniscus you break.
Yeah.
And your name is?
Connor.
Nice to meet you, Connor. Good man. Sorry about that. Hi, dear. How are you? Good to see you. Let's go around here now. We didn't get to your family, I don't think, did we?
Yeah.
Your son threw the dart. Is that all the exposure you want?
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Okay. You want to add anything to that? Your chance? No? Okay. Let's go. No, this row is no good. We'll go right back over here. Let's see. No, I did, though. That family is already kind of ruined for radio. Let's go in back here, and I noticed that we got... are you doing pretty good?
I'm doing very well.
Yeah?
Thank you.
Yeah. You got a deep voice down there.
Oh, thank you.
Have you done any broadcasting with that voice?
I have not, no.
You're made for it, really. Have you been told that before?
That I have a face for radio? Yes.
Oh, no. No, your face is fine. It's your voice is say a few things.
What would you like me to say?
I'll say, and now, ladies and gentlemen, what do you know with Michael Feldman?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, what do you know with Michael Feldman?
Whoa. Fitzy! All right, now, Bitsy, you say it.
And now, it's What Do You Know with Michael Feldman.
All right, I like them both. It's a different take. And your name is?
I'm Tim Meisenheimer.
Yeah. Sim?
Tim.
Oh, Tim. I thought you said Sim Modenheiser.
No, Tim Meisenheimer.
Sid Modenheiser. That's almost impossible to say. You'll have to change the name if you're going on the radio.
Shorten it up a little bit. Any suggestions?
Tim St. John.
Tim Mod. Tim St. John would be good. Yes, very good. Those, I haven't used that in a while. Very good. And you are?
I'm Ellen.
Ellen? How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Just use the one name, huh?
Yeah.
What are you doing these days?
I'm a yoga teacher.
You are? And where do you do that?
Over at Capital Fitness.
Capital Fitness. Yes.
Yes.
did you bring your mat with you in case you wanted to demonstrate anything?
No, I already took care of that this morning.
And do you do the yoga as well?
I do, yes.
And has he improved quite a bit since you've been working with him?
Yeah, it depends on the day. Yeah.
What's your favorite posture?
Well, in English or in Sanskrit?
Yeah, Sanskrit is what I prefer.
I like Supta Virasana.
Oh, me too. Especially on a Tuesday, because that's when it's still fresh.
It's fresh every day of the week.
The what is it again?
It's Supta Virasana. Yeah.
Can you strike that for us real quick here?
I cannot, no.
What is involved in that posture?
It translates to reclining hero's pose. But basically, you're on your knees and you lay back. Stretch your quads.
But that's a reclining hero, does it?
Yeah.
Are you more kundalini?
No, I don't do kundalini. More like an alignment-based practice.
Because years ago, once again, in the time when I was throwing out desks and painting walls and stuff in schools, I did kundalini, did a retreat one time, kundalini, yeah. And I opened almost all of my chakras. Yeah. Long since snapped shut, and they're ossified now. But
I believe that.
Well, thank you very much. Nice talking to you. Pleasure. All right, nice to meet you. I was going to talk to all you guys real quick. Sum up your life and times.
My life and times. Yeah. It's hanging with these two guys, yeah. My brother and nephew.
Your brother and nephew. And you're all from?
Originally from Stratford, but now we're Monona and Oshkosh.
Okay. And you guys, and
Madison.
You live in Madison.
Madison. He's a writer.
Yeah.
And my brother is?
You're
Oshkosh. Wayne.
Oshkosh Healthcare, and you're?
I'm Steve.
Steve.
I'm a timber engineer.
Timber engineer?
I am. I work for a company that certifies plywood and OSB, okay. Wood products.
And the family name is?
Winnestorfer.
The Winnestorfers, ladies and gentlemen. The life story of the Winnestorfers. That'll be on Fox this fall. All right, we need someone else to play the quiz now because a lot of you wanted to try it, and... Well, not a lot of you, but there was one other guy. Anyone else want to play the quiz, I guess, is what I'm asking now. Did you want, dear, way down there? Yes, you did? Come on. Yes, come on over here. Because young people are our future. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
And you are?
Jesse.
Jesse, are you from around here, Jesse?
I'm from Fort Atkinson.
Fort Atkinson, okay, that's close enough. You got to give me a reason, though, you want to play the quiz.
Well, my sister and brother-in-law actually lived in a tiny house not too long ago.
There you go. Yep. That's reason enough. Come on, Jesse. They lived in a tiny house. Have a seat there.
I think that water is still good if you want to use it. I don't think you drank any.
No, I'm good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Phil, did you drink any of that water?
No, sir.
Okay. The water is still perfectly good. If you care to have that. Yeah, you don't need those, but you can wear them. Okay. Okay. Full name, last name first?
What was that?
Full name, last name first.
Steenbergen, Jesse.
Steenbergen, Jesse. Okay. Tax number?
582.
No, never. Oh, please don't. Please don't. Okay. We'll just call you Jesse. That's a good thing. What are you doing these days? In school?
I'm an engineer.
Oh, you are? Mm-hmm. And where are you working?
Generac.
Yeah. What is that?
Oh, they make portable generators and
cool.
Home standby generators.
And where did you go to school for that?
UW-Platteville.
You did? Mm-hmm. So that paid off. You went to school and you got a career.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Kid. And was it hard? Engineering is probably pretty hard.
No,
isn't it?
It's not really.
Piece of cake?
Yeah, just sail on through.
Sail on through. And is it mechanical engineering that you went? Good move, worked out?
Oh, yeah,
glad you
definitely.
Did it. Perfect, good job.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Benefits?
Yeah, of course.
Can you retire like in a few years?
Oh, you know, when I'm 30.
I retired when I was 30, too, but it didn't last. Well, Jesse, that's just great. And are you here with family? Or?
Yeah, my boyfriend.
Boyfriend?
Joel.
Admit it, Joel. Oh, there you are. I'm a little reluctant to admit that. Is he an engineer as well?
Oh, no. But he works with me, actually.
He does?
Mm-hmm.
He works for you?
No, not quite.
That'd be cool. Jesse, you know how this works? It's collaborative with someone out there. They have to answer a question, don't they?
They do.
Bitsy?
Mm-hmm.
How do they do that then?
Well, if they're at home and they want to play the quiz, they pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question, and then they have to get it right.
Oh, okay. Here's another quote from the news. This gentleman said, I'd like to live about another 2 years. He is the world's new oldest man, Sakari Momai of Tokyo. So if he lives another 2 years, the question is, as he wants to, how old would he be then? So you'd have to know how old he actually is. The world's oldest man, I guess the easy way to say it would be, how old is he? That's the question. Let's go to the phones right now and see what they know. Steve's on the line from Columbus. Hey, Steve. Oh. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
Great. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Are you from Columbus or from Dublin or someplace?
No, I'm here in Columbus. I saw you at the last show in Otterbein, though.
Oh, you did, yeah. That was fun, though.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I had a good time. Mm-hmm. This gentleman said, I'd like to live about another 2 years. He's the world's oldest man. He's in Tokyo. How old is he?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Michael. I've already won several times. So I just wanted to give a heads up to my mom. If she's still listening, I'll be over for dinner after a while.
Thanks, Steve. That's very thoughtful of you.
That was Shirley. She just won the quiz earlier.
Oh, Shirley?
Yeah.
Oh, Shirley at home there?
Yeah, in Pickerington.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Next time, just pick up the phone and call her, maybe, huh?
Hey, Michael, now you're thinking.
You're using up my career here.
Yeah.
Nice talking to you. Take care.
Yeah, take care. Bye.
Jay's on the line from Charleston, South Carolina.
Hello?
Where are you, man?
I am on my way to work in Charleston, South Carolina.
Are you on a boat or a plane or?
I am in a car. I wish I was on a boat.
You're in a car?
Sure am.
Okay. World's oldest man in Tokyo. How old is he, Jay?
Ooh, 112.
Oh, you know, we can give that to you. He's 111. That's pretty darn close.
Well, I was lucky guess that.
Okay, good. He qualified, Jay, in Charleston, South Carolina. So, Jay, are you driving with the window open or something?
I am not. I got my hands free on.
You got your what?
I got my hands free on, being safe.
Hands free.
Oh, you're hands free. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Would you possibly be able to pull over a little bit so I don't have to worry about you while you're doing this?
I sure can.
Okay. Pull over. We got plenty of time here. A little song here while Jay pulls over and Charles.
Oh, sure. All right. How's that?
Well, that was quick. I hope that wasn't too abrupt there. The guy behind you must have wondered what was going on.
No, he's all right.
Oh, that's okay. Hey, Jay, what do you do there in Charleston?
I am a sous chef at a country club.
Oh, you are. Are you heading to work now?
I sure am.
Yeah. What's your piece de resistance, as we say in English?
My piece de resistance.
Yeah.
I make a good pasta.
Good pasta? Yeah. What do you do to make it special?
You make it from scratch.
Yeah.
Crack some egg, whip in some flour, and make it from scratch.
Oh, you do.
Put a little love into it.
Yeah. And then what do you, in terms of sauce, as we say in French?
Oh, all sorts of sauces.
Yeah.
Tomato sauces, cream sauces, whatever you want, whatever you're in the mood for.
Sounds good. That's good. We're not going to make you late for work, are we, Jay?
No, it's all right.
That's cool.
Maybe a little late. I think they'll understand.
Okay. Jay, this is Jesse. She's your partner. She's an engineer.
Hey, Jesse. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. How are you?
I'm very good.
Cool. Now, you are a team now, so we got the engineering thing and we got the chef thing going here, so we cover a lot of bases. And then what categories do we have?
We have current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Jay, you can pick the first one. What would you like?
Well, let's do odds and ends.
Odds and ends. All right, people who are aware they are sleeping when they're sleeping. People who are aware of it, you know. Have one of the following qualities that's associated with that, being aware that you're sleeping when you're sleeping. Are they good dancers, good problem solvers, or are they not aware when they are awake? Talk about her now, Jesse, Jay.
What's that?
What were the options?
Yes, good dancers, good problem solvers, not aware that they are awake.
I'm leaning towards problem solvers.
Problem solving.
Yeah. Mm, that's what I was thinking, too.
Yes, problem solving. Right. Exactly. Good team. We got a good team here.
One right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left there?
Remaining categories, current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school or science.
All right. How about places?
Places it is. Most nude sunbathers in Europe. Did we do this one?
No.
Okay.
I would have remembered.
Okay. The most nude sunbathers in Europe. Are they in Germany, Sweden, or the UK?
I imagine it's pretty cold in Sweden, right?
Yeah.
Time of year,
I don't know if I want to be nude out there sunbathing.
Yeah, okay. Well, where do you want to be nude sunbathing, I guess, is the question then. In Europe.
UK?
I might go with Germany.
He's saying Germany. You think the English are going to be out there nude on the beach?
Well, you know, you can imagine the Speedo with the British flag. That's what I think of.
How often do you think of that? That's kind of weird. Speedo with a British flag on it. But you're thinking Speedo. Germany. You think the Germans probably are into that, speaking of Speedos.
Well, I imagine they're not wearing any Speedos, right?
Yeah,
right. So maybe it's not UK.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we can go with Germany. That's
the Union Jack?
Sure.
You like to see a Union Jack under those conditions?
Yeah.
Germany, yes, Germany is right. Whoa, you guys are sharp. That one could have thrown you back.
It's two right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left there?
Current events, people, things you should have learned in school or science.
Okay. Jay, back to you.
I'm going to have to go with things I should have learned in school.
All right, school, should have learned this. Petrichor. Petrichor. Don't look it up. Petrichor is one of the following things. Is it the smell of gasoline, pets, or rain? Technically, this is the term for this particular smell, petrichor.
I'm sorry, what were the options again?
Yeah, the smell of gasoline, the smell of pets, or the smell of rain.
Well, gasoline kind of makes sense.
What?
Gasoline kind of makes sense with the, you know,
somewhat, but not in others.
I cook for a living. You went to school and became an engineer. I'm going to go with whatever you say.
Also, the pets and rain to consider.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Let's say gasoline. Or pets and rain.
All three. I don't think we should say gasoline.
Rain.
You think it's rain? Yeah. What's your reasoning there? That people are shouting rain out from the audience?
I'd like to change my vote for rain.
Yeah, rain. Rain is the answer. I'm going to have to give it to you, even though there was. Well, technically they have won.
They could risk it all on the mother load, though, if they wanted to.
Maybe just one more question?
Just one more question.
Explain the ramifications of that.
Well, if they get that one answer wrong, then they lose everything.
Oh, everything.
But if they get that one answer right, they win everything.
Everything.
Everything. The tension is palpable.
I'll risk it if you want to.
All right, sure. Let's go for it.
You do that?
Okay.
All right. Get it right, you can't get it wrong. Simple as that. I guess, is it back to Jay? Did you pick the last one?
I think he did.
He did. So, that's, so it's up to you, Jesse. A lot of pressure. What's left? Do you want to tell us what's left?
Yeah, current events, people, or science.
Okay.
Current events, people, or science.
Yes. I like them both ways.
People.
People it is. These are kind of survey results? Or
Yeah.
Okay. The percentage of people who never unplug from their electronics. In other words, I don't know what that means. If you don't wear them, doesn't mean it means that you keep them on.
Yeah, you don't shut them off, probably.
You don't shut them off. Okay. The percentage of people who never unplug from electronics. Is it 43%, 51%, or
3%? 43, 51, or 3?
Yeah. Percentage of people who never unplug from their electronics. Never.
I would imagine that's pretty high.
You think it's pretty high?
51, yeah. Then, yeah.
It's pretty high.
That is. That's up there.
Is it too high, though?
Is this in the whole world?
I think this probably refers to Americans. Hmm. But.
Well, let's go right in the middle, then. 43.
That works for me.
43?
Yeah.
I like the way you think. I can see why you got through engineering so easily. 43% is right. And unplugged people, what is that?
Jesse, you'll indulge in a passion for spectacular specialty artisanal cheese at Fromage Nation on Madison's historic Capitol Square since September 2007. Then taste the union of garden fresh tomatoes, zesty jalapenos, and bell peppers in a jar of medium salsa from Sanchez Specialties in Almond, Wisconsin. Satisfy sugar cravings using sweet desserts. That's recipes by Peoria area restaurants and citizens from the Peoria Historical Society. Wear a pin from Madison's World Dairy Expo 05 and tour America through remote radio broadcasts in Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other by Michael Feldman from Terrace Books. Jay, if you've ever wondered whether Schopenhauer or John Cardinal Newman called religion the masterpiece of the art of animal training, you'll need Glad You Asked, Intriguing Names, Facts, and Ideas for the Curious Minded by Michael Feldman from Triumph Books. And then give your favorite doggy some pizzazz with a firecracker slider bandana that simply slides onto his or her collar from Stellaware. Mail news of your quiz victory with a dozen vintage greetings from Feldman, Planet Feldman postcards, rather. And I'm almost out of time, but I think maybe we'll make it show off your bling ring from Morgan's Treasure Custom Jewelry and demonstrate your superb intellect playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including audience contestants and the all-knowing Michael Feldman bobblehead, available exclusively at NotMuch.com.
Thank you all for coming. Thank you. Jesse, nice job. Jay, hang on. Make sure you get that. Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. Boys in the Band, Sarah Nix, myself.
Don't forget, Oklahoma will be at the OCCC on August 25th. Call the box office 405-682-7579 for tickets. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Megan Hannes, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Our technical directors, Tom Blaine, with help from Auburn Ralph and Brad Colbert.
PRI, Public Radio International.